Only Child of the Universe, transmitting live by Brittle Stars and read by Coprime. Rating, teen and up. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Fandom, Daredevil TV. Relationships, Bess Mahoney and Brett Mahoney, as well as Brett Mahoney and Foggy Nelson. Characters, Brett Mahoney, Bess Mahoney, and Foggy Nelson. Additional tags, Family Feels, Families of Choice, Pre-Canon, Canon Compliant, Angst, Mental Health, but none of that Thanks I'm Cured BS, because humans and their feelings are complex and messy, but at least we have each other. Summary. Even before there's a man running around Hell's Kitchen in a mask, Brett Mahoney leads a stressful life. It's not easy to talk about the things that weigh on the heart and the soul, but thankfully Brett has a loving, if stubborn, mother in Bess Mahoney, and an equally stubborn friend in Foggy Nelson. When an emergency rocks New York and threatens to tip the world upside down, will their tenuously forged stability hold? I can't do this anymore, Mama. Can't or won't. It's not like you to quit when a job needs doing. Brett swallowed, closing his eyes for a second. I just... His voice trailed off. He turned his police officer's cap over and over in his hands, using the movement to disguise faintly trembling fingers, over and over. Bess stepped forward, her faded house slippers padding along the front hall rug. She reached her hand, tilting Brett's chin up. After a breath, he opened his eyes. They were shining with unshed tears. I'm tired, he said, looking directly into her face. His voice wavered, but his gaze did not. I feel bad saying it to you, of all people, after all you've done for... Bess swept him up into a hug before he could finish. Hush, baby, I've got you. After a quiet moment of hugging tight and rocking, the kettle whistled in the kitchen. Despite the shrill, piercing noise, Brett immediately felt a swell of nostalgia. A few years ago, he bought his mother an electric kettle on the grounds that it was more energy efficient, quieter, and could be pre-programmed to have hot water ready in the mornings. But Bess had insisted on filling her old, chipped, metal and ceramic kettle and setting it on the burner herself, saying that good taste takes time. If nothing else, she was a woman steadied by ritual. Brett gave his mother one more squeeze and stepped back, setting his shoulders. Bess ushered him away from the front door toward the couch before setting off to prepare mugs of tea. She didn't let her gaze linger when Brett took a detour to grab a tissue from the box on the little side table in the hall, but she did arch a thin eyebrow when she noticed he hadn't hung his cap on its usual peg on the wall. Brett paced back and forth in front of the couch, back and forth, back and forth, before Bess clicked her tongue and he glanced up at her sheepish. She paused in reaching into the cupboard for the sugar to wave a hand, gesturing for him to sit. Brett sat, back stiff and knee bouncing. He set his police cap in his lap, fingertips seeking to smooth non-existent wrinkles. The faded leather of the couch stretched and heaved under his jittery movements, but the material was worn enough to bear the flutter quietly. You know it'll help to talk about it, Bess called from the kitchen. Her voice was sure but gentle. Brett ducked his chin to his chest in an aborted nod as Bess stepped over from the kitchen to stand behind him. Maybe, he said. It's just hard to find words. She reached up and ran her fingers through his short hair, tilting his head to rest against her stomach. Bess hummed and rocked side to side, holding her son. After a moment, the clench of his jaw began to unwind, and his breathing slowed somewhat, settling to a deep, more even draw. The egg timer dinged, announcing their teas had fully steeped. Hearing the sound was a reminder that she was setting aside time right now. Time for tea, and time to sit for a spell, apart from whatever might be going on at the precinct, out in the world. Brett listened to her pull the tea bags out from the hot water. Typically, he enjoyed afternoon tea with his mother, but something in his chest wound tighter at the gentle sounds. With faint clinks, Bess gently set two teacups and their saucers on the coffee table. She eased herself onto the couch next to Brett and patted her wrinkled hand once on his knee. He stilled its bouncing. She patted once more, then leaned forward to retrieve her teacup before settling back against the cushion, carefully angled forward rather than toward him. She blew away a bit of steam. "You've been at the job only a year and a half, Bess observed, voice cool. Brett nodded. His knee resumed bouncing even faster now. "And you worked so hard at the academy before then. You excelled and even got a placement at a precinct nearby so you could keep an eye on your old mother." Brett swallowed and closed his eyes. He nodded again. In the past, she might have waited him out, infinitely patient in the face of his unsteady squirming. But instead she whispered, "Tell me, baby." "You know I can't say the specifics. Privacy and confidentiality and ongoing investigations and all," Brett began. Also, he'd never feel comfortable telling her about the heart-wrenching experiences he'd witnessed and, yes, even abetted, firsthand. There was training and there was instinct, but neither was enough to meet the messy mutual parasitism of a densely packed city and its deeply corrupt systems. Day in, day out, with nothing to do but return from the scene and summarize the blood and brutality and heartache in the dry technical language of yet another incident report. Technicalities in triplicate, where a stray comma might crack open the door for spineless lawyers paid to unright justice. More likely, those last words for the victims would never be read again, filed under the dust and weight of years and years of unaddressed transgressions, previous and future. There always seemed to be enough funds to document and collate, but never enough to do anything about it all. Never enough time, enough resources, enough willpower. Never enough human decency. "It's just more of the same," Brett said after a long moment. "I don't need to know their stories right now. I want to know yours." "I'm tired, Ma. Can we just..." Bess set her tea on the coffee table and turned to face him fully. She grasped both his cheeks in her hands, framing his face. "Brett Mahoney, you are a good man and a smart man, but you are a stubborn man." Brett hunched his shoulders, casting his eyes down. She shook him just a bit. "You come into my house talking, grumbling, and huffing about quitting the brand new job you've always wanted." "I didn't say I wanted to quit." He shrugged her hands off and slunk further back into the couch. She let her hands fall to her lap, but her voice was hard. "I can read between the lines." "Apparently not, because I asked you to leave it." "You won't even tell me what it even is." "Because it's not..." Brett clenched a fist in mounting frustration. "Look, I love you, Ma, but I'm not a kid anymore." "You sure are fussing like one," Bess began to chide, but then bit her tongue to see Brett's stormy glare. "Don't," he said, voice equally dark and weary. Bess resettled herself, straightening the fold of her dress over her knees. The pair sat rigid, hearing only the empty, hollow tick of the wall clock and the distant rumble of the busy city beyond their doorstep. Eventually, Brett sighed. His eyes were fixed on the far wall when he admitted, "I can't point to any one thing that's bothering me right now, not really." Bess opened her mouth, planning to encourage him to talk about it, but then Brett continued in a more bitter tone. "I know you mean well, but you can't always fix what's broken with some tea and a home-cooked meal." Bess felt the clench of her heart like a visceral squeeze in her breast. Tears surged in the corners of her eyes. "Baby, you're not broken." Brett's jaw was tight. didn't say it was me that was the problem. He turned to face her. What I am saying, so you don't have to read between the lines, is that I need to not be talking about this right now, okay? I need... His words picked up speed as he gathered his thoughts. I need a distraction and a nap, and I need this couch to be a place where I can chill in peace. Bess narrowed her eyes, then nodded once. She hummed a low note, then patted his hand again. Drink your tea, it'll get cold. After a beat, Brett nodded too. Can't have cold tea, he said, taking up his cup and saucer and offering her a wan smile. She smiled in return, tenuous with heartbreak. Certainly not. She closed her eyes, inhaled deeply, nodded again. Now pass me the clicker. I want to watch Jeopardy. Brett groaned, but obediently powered on the television and turned to pass her the remote control. He stepped into their nightly routine with a gentle teasing, saying, "We're only counting answers," shouted in the form of a question, before dropping his teacup into his lap. It struck the police cap, dashing his trousers with warmish chamomile-scented liquid before tumbling to the floor. Manhattan was on fire. No, not fire. Explosions. Multiple explosions in the financial district. Full-screen helicopter footage showed dark gray smoke billowing across a perfectly blue late afternoon sky. A bright red rectangle blinked in the corner. Live. Some all-capitalized words about superheroes scrolled by on the Chiron, but the voiceover was saying something about aliens. The newscaster's voice was fast and crisp and steely, despite the footage of an enormous something soaring between buildings. An eel, or a dragon. A flying dragon eel crashing into a skyscraper. A shaky view of a hole torn in the sky, swarming with claws and scales and teeth. Oh God, there were more of the monsters. Bess swore aloud, then swiftly crossed herself. She leaned forward, staring at destruction on the screen, and swore again. My phone, she demanded, patting the pockets of her house dress. I need to call the poker girls. She stood up, rushing to the kitchen to retrieve her phone. The image on the television zoomed in to show Captain America and a white woman in all black, ushering people out of a bus that had crashed into a bank, now more rubble than business. A bus rider stumbled, then fainted. The red-headed woman rushed to set him on the ground. Brett noted she had placed the civilian's unconscious body in a safe recovery position, as his brain was flooded with precise procedures for treating shock while radioing information to medical for support. The man's side was bleeding bright red, so hemorrhaging probable, no visible shrapnel. Don gloves, then apply pressure to. Brett, Bess called again, more sharply. Brett jolted, knocking the teacup from his sodden lap to the floor as he twisted toward the kitchen. Bess had her phone pressed to her ear and was waving his phone in her extended hand, frowning at him. Brett took his phone, turning it over in his hand when her call connected. Cassandra, I need you to... Yes, of course I've seen the news. That's why I'm calling. Bess tisked and rolled her eyes. I'm activating the phone tree. Spread word to the girls to bring the emergency supplies to the church rec room. Yes, both. She was pacing now. Brett's phone vibrated with incoming text messages, but he ignored them. Yes, Bess continued after a moment. Yes, fine. And get that good-for-nothing loaf you call your husband to come, too. Least he can do is use that radio he loves so much for something useful. I... Bess stopped short. What? Her eyes flicked to Brett, who had been watching her from the couch but now turned down his gaze. Bess bit her lip and then muttered into her phone, voice suddenly softer and less urgent. I'll ask. She listened to the phone for another few seconds, rolled her eyes again, and snapped curtly, Rec room, 20 minutes. Bring Mike. She hung up without awaiting a response. After a beat of silence, Brett raised his line of sight to find her studying him, arms crossed over her chest. Her face was lined with concern, tense but not quite stern. You okay for now? She asked. He paused, giving the question real thought. He bent over, retrieving his spilled teacup and setting it on its saucer on the coffee table with a single decisive click. I can be okay for right now, he said. He smoothed his hands down the sides of his uniform. I might need a minute later, though. Bess narrowed her eyes and then nodded. You take the time you need. He inhaled deeply and then nodded his head slowly, gathering his resolve. I need to go help. Hearing his own unwavering words gave him purpose, certainty. He stood. Bess frowned. You just got off a double shift. Sit and work the phone tree with me. He glanced at the television to see a giant green rage monster punching a flying eel dragon. Apparently, the Hulk was back. Brett shuddered. They'll want me at the precinct, he said. In his pocket, his phone buzzed again. Bess's phone rang, and she quickly silenced it before again appraising him with her eyes. This is exactly the sort of scenario we set up the community mutual aid for. We don't even know what's going on. Bess didn't bend. You ready to go find out? Brett nodded, jaw tight. Thank you for the tea, Mama, he said. She huffed, but nodded in return. Brett stepped around the couch, leaned to kiss her on top of her head, and hurried out the door. He was wearing his police cap. Live, blinked the TV's red rectangle. Bess sighed deeply, put the television on mute, and got to work. She arrived at the church inside half an hour, phone to her ear and coordinating the varied efforts of her vast network of friends and community contacts. Around 4 in the morning, Pastor William finally agreed to take a break for himself, on the compromise that Bess also return to her apartment for a change of clothes and a quick shower. Between one blink and the next, after sitting down for a brief rest on her couch, there was suddenly a bright stream of daylight through the living room window. Someone was knocking on her door, a slow but loud thumping. She glanced at her phone. Almost 2 in the afternoon. No wonder her back protested as she hauled her old bones up off the couch toward the front hall. The knocking continued, now more rhythmic. Doorbell works just fine, you know, Bess groused as she pulled back the door a crack. It was Brett, fishing in his pockets for his keys. Since when? He asked, startled. Since last week. Bess chose not to comment on her son's very disheveled appearance, instead stepping aside to let him enter. After he removed his dust-covered boots, he began a slow march to the kitchen. She followed. I mentioned to Anna that I was tired of waiting for you to fix the bell. Brett grimaced guiltily, but said nothing. And the very next day, Edward came over with his little toolbox. It was the work of minutes, but we had a fine time gossiping. That family sure can talk. Bess sniffed. It's a real shame the man doesn't enjoy a cigar. I might have had a chance to get a word in edgewise. Brett grinned despite his exhaustion. Few and far between were the people who could out-gossip Bess Mahoney, but Edward Nelson was one of them. Have you eaten? Brett asked after washing his hands. His skin was pinched around his drooping eyelids. That's not your job. You go rest. I'll have something ready for us both when you wake up. Ma, Brett began, voice weak. Go. She was already slipping her apron over her head. He sighed and turned towards his room. Yes, ma'am. As he stripped off his uniform, Brett debated taking a hot shower, but instead fell asleep on his bed in his boxers before even managing to remove his socks. When he awoke, the light coming through his bedroom window was the faint orange of early evening. He stretched his stiff muscles, sniffed appreciatively at the homely scent of a freshly baked pastry, and dragged himself into the shower. 20 minutes later, he emerged into the kitchen, feeling considerably more human. He still felt like he was untethered and drifting, but the surface aches had been soothed by the scaldingly hot water through their new high-pressure showerhead. bless Edward and his hardware store discounts. Brett stopped short in the kitchen doorway to the shrill sound of a masculine wolf whistle. Looking good. Foggy, Brett groaned, quickly grabbing a blanket from the couch to drape over his shoulders. This must be why Bess always said not to come to the kitchen table in an undershirt and boxers. What are you doing here? Foggy Nelson paused in setting napkins and forks on the kitchen table to spread his arms wide and smile beatifically. Can't a man visit his second favorite family the day after an alien invasion? Brett turned on his heel and headed straight back to his bedroom, muttering, "Clothes. I need clothes for this." "I love you too, man," Foggy called. Then, "But not as much as I love you, Bess." Bess watched her son's retreating back. "No need to lay the praise on so thick, Franklin. You're already getting a slice of pie." "Ah, but maybe if I lay the praise on thick, you'll do the same with the Cool Whip." He shook the plastic container of artificial whipped cream for emphasis, waggling his eyebrows. "Sit down," Bess barked, more sharply than he expected. When he looked startled, she softened, patting the back of his hand. "It's been a long few days. We all deserve some grace." Foggy rotated his hand at the wrist to squeeze Bess' fingers briefly. His voice was soft but steady. "He did great out there," Foggy said. Then, seeing Brett re-entering the room, now fully clothed, he continued, "Just as helpful as Thor and almost as good-looking." Brett was too busy scoffing and cuffing the side of Foggy's head to catch Bess's warm smile. Foggy shoved Brett a step backward before frantically running his hands to finger comb his hair. "Sit," Bess barked at them. They sat at the table. She brought over three plates heaped with cherry pie, settling one dish by each man. Foggy squealed in delight and immediately took up his fork, before settling herself into the seat next to Brett. She folded her hands on the table in front of her chest briefly. "You saw each other earlier today?" Bess asked. "He found me passed out on a bench in the park." Foggy lied smoothly, with a red-stained, toothy grin. "Without Brett, I probably will have stumbled into an open manhole." Bess's eyes narrowed shrewdly at Foggy's story, flicking just a second to Brett's face, but then she nodded like she thought it best not to pry. "We could all use some rest." "Hear, hear," cheered Foggy. "Besides, there will always be more ambulances to chase." At their twin stares, Foggy winced. "Okay, that wasn't nearly as funny as my sleep-deprived brain thought it would be." Brett rolled his eyes. "You're not funny even when you have slept." Foggy fake pouted. "Not all of us can be heroes." He turned to Bess. "Seriously, Bess, better than Thor." Brett scowled. "Don't tell me you're falling for those super spandex folks." Foggy paused his shoveling pie into his mouth. After a second of musing, he said, "I'd look good in spandex." Bess and Brett snorted identical huffs of skepticism. Bess recovered first. "More pie?" she offered. This slice was barely visible, smothered in a small mountain of whipped cream. Foggy reached for a second plate, wiggling his fingertips. "I can't say no to you." "You could," said Bess. "But he won't," said Brett. "I won't," Foggy agreed. "Not when there's pie on the line." Through bites of pie, Foggy and Bess bantered and exchanged neighborhood gossip. Brett ate his food more slowly, savoring the tart balanced with the sweet, and allowing his presence to fade against the comfortable backdrop of their chatter. The kitchen was warm. Just as Foggy was threatening to start up his familiar, "My mom wanted me to be a butcher" story, Brett stood and collected everyone's plates, silently and mechanically tidying up the space. Foggy and Bess exchanged a glance over the table when his back was turned, Foggy tilting his head in Brett's direction and arching up a questioning eyebrow. Bess shook her head slightly and reached to pat the top of Foggy's hand resting on the table. "We're hanging in there," she said, as if carrying on the conversational thread, but also in response to Foggy's unspoken question. "Thank you for stopping by. Tell your father I said hello." Foggy nodded, standing. He gave Bess a strong, heartfelt hug. "Thank you." Brett walked Foggy to the door, pulling it open and stepping aside. Foggy paused in exiting the apartment, turning back. Brett shuffled his feet. Foggy leaned in. "You doing okay?" he asked, voice gentle. "Normally I wouldn't interrupt a man sleeping in the park, but you were looking kinda rough." Brett pressed his lips together as he tilted his head to the side. "Could be better, but definitely could be worse." "Aliens, huh?" Brett sighed deeply, then shrugged. "That too." Foggy let his voice drop slightly, a bit softer. "Let me know if I can help." "I will." Foggy nodded, then clapped a hand on Brett's shoulder. "Thanks, buddy." "You can start by getting out of here." And now we're back to frenemies. "Nah, would I let an enemy eat all the pie?" "You might. Delicious pie could be your evil plan to make sure I no longer fit into my spandex hero tights. Alas, I am forced to entrust saving the world to the hands of mere mortals."
"Like mine?"
Foggy squeezed Brett's shoulder. "Hey man, one day at a time." Brett couldn't argue with that. His smile was true as it echoed Foggy's. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author.